that read two readings this morning, and the first one is from Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Then Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen.
Amen.
Speak through him. Speak those words through that he has to say. May God be glorified in all that we do.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. So, Rachel started a new series last week, and it was about new things that come through us being disciples of Jesus. And we're going to think about new strength this morning. And what sort of strength am I talking about? Look at this guy. He's the big man. He's the king of his domain. He's got his females and his children. And if anybody comes to challenge him, he kind of pulls himself up to his full height and, look at me, you don't want to come near. And, you know, people turn around and say, okay, I'll leave it there. So he doesn't want to get into a fight. He just wants to look big and look impressive and just carry on with his quiet life of eating fruit and, doing all the other things that he does. So, but if you get in on his bad side, you have got these teeth to deal with. So, he is the animal kingdom's picture of strength. So is it strength like that we are talking about this morning that comes from faith in Jesus? Well, when Helen Miller from Moorlands was here before Christmas, she was given the unenviable task of speaking about the genealogy of Jesus. But the point she made that it was really countercultural, because these were not a list of kings and queens and important people. There were outcasts, there were women, there were people who were not Jews. So this was showing Jesus was a different kind of king. And I think we'll build the picture this morning that the strength that comes from faith in God is a different kind of strength to the strength of the world. We can think of world leaders who view strength like the silverback, and they want to govern by strength and quash any dissent. But the strength that we're talking about is countercultural. So the strength, where does this strength come from? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And Ephesians 4 and verse 13 that Sarah just read to him to us, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. It's the sort of strength that gave Paul resilience. We read about all these difficult things, difficult circumstances that he had been through. But in all of this, he said he had learned to be content. And it's God that gave him the strength to do that. And it's a strength that was not about building ourselves up, but it was about him laying down himself and getting strength from God. Less of me, more of him. And this contentment that Paul was talking about is a work of the Holy Spirit. He had learned to give thanks in all circumstances. Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this is not easy. Life is often crap. And I had thought about using a stronger expletive there, because life throws rubbish at us. You know, we have all kinds of things to deal with, and often throws these things at us when we think, I've had enough. I've already got enough on my plate. And we get something else that comes up. Health problems, bereavement, all kinds of difficulties that we have to deal with. And it's not just physical health. Our mental health can struggle at times. And Jesus was aware of that. And he said in Matthew chapter 6, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And these are difficult. This is not easy. But contentment doesn't come by comparing ourselves from others. I'm looking out. Some of you might not be Instagrammers. I'm not an Instagrammer, but I did look up who are the top 10 most followed people on Instagram. Any ideas?
Taylor Swift.
No, she's not in the top 10. Not Taylor Swift.
Meghan Markle.
No, not Meghan Markle. She wasn't in the top 10 that I looked at. Number one was Cristiano Ronaldo, the footballer who likes taking pictures of himself with his shirt off to show how magnificent he is, like the silverback gorilla, I think. Some other names on there. Let me look, because these names are not. Kylie Jenner. Ariana Grande. Beyonce. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So, I mean, these are people, if you compare your life, you know, what they're posting, your life might look a bit boring. Or you might think, jolly glad I'm not them. But but it can be a problem for people comparing themselves, for having contentment in life when this is the comparison that they're making, and they feel the pressure to be perfect, that life should be perfect, but it isn't like that. And this is why we need strength from God to get us through all the difficult situations that we have. And this is where it gets quite countercultural, because it's strength for different purposes than the world would see strength. That, you know, the people who like to control other people. It's strength to have patience. It's strength to have gentleness. It's strength to have endurance and resilience. And it's strength to serve others. Can you see how this is very different, very countercultural to shows of force or aggression that you might think of as strength in the world? And this strength is shown in weakness. That sounds like that doesn't make sense. But Paul said that God's power is most evident in human weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that God's power may rest on me." It's less of me, more of him. So it's a very different kind of strength, and strength to resist temptation. So how do we build this new Christian strength? I've said that it comes from God, but how does that work practically? What can we do to build that strength, to build that resilience for the difficult times that come to us all? So, we've got a wonderful oak tree here. What can't you see about this tree? You can't, yeah. All you can see is the kind of magnificent branches and leaves there in the sunshine. But I don't know if you saw the news yesterday, I saw pictures from the Lizard Peninsula, Storm Goretti. There were these trees, magnificent trees, all over the place. But to withstand the storms, actually a tree looks like this. So it's got roots that go out beyond the spread of the branches, almost as deep as the branches go up, to give it its strength and its resilience for when storms come. And Paul talked about this in a couple of places in the New Testament, and I want to read you some verses from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. So he said, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with God's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So you see, Paul is using this picture of being rooted and established in love to have this resilience, to have this strength. So how do we become not just what's visible on the surface, but have the roots that go down, that our Christian faith is deep and anchored in Jesus, in God? Well, the early church, in Acts chapter 2, we read that they met together for the apostles' teaching, for fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And all of these things help to make them rooted and established in their faith. And I just want to talk about some practical things about that. So the apostles' teaching, we have the Bible, don't we? And it is very important for us to read the Bible and to learn from it each day. And doing that will immerse our thinking in the thinking of the Bible. So I find I've been using for very many years Bible reading guides from the Scripture Union, and there are others available and other people like different ones. I can recommend these because I'm using it. I like the Encounter with God one on the right. You read the whole Bible every 4 years, the whole of the New Testament every 2 years, and you know, they mix it up. You do, you know, if you don't think you're going to have to read the whole of Ezekiel, you know, they kind of break it up and do a few chapters of one, mix it up with a bit of the New Testament. They have different people writing it all the time, really interesting people who've worked all over the world, different backgrounds, and I think they keep it very fresh. And I subscribe to it. A new one comes through the door every quarter, and I think it costs £28 a year. And I would recommend you do something like that. The beauty of subscribing is that when you buy one, it runs out, you lose the habit. But if another one's come through the door, you're on it. But I realise I'm a dinosaur with these bits of paper, and you can get it as an app, and it costs less. And you might find that helpful. There are other great resources. Sarah likes Lectio 365, which is more of a guide to prayer, I think, than Bible study. But there are great things out there. But I'd recommend these things. So to get this rooting into God, we need these habits in our life of daily Bible reading, the teaching, that the apostles' teaching that I mentioned there. We need fellowship. Christians are not meant to be like an albatross, flying on its own over the ocean for long periods of time. We are gregarious creatures. We need each other. Being part of the fellowship of the church gives us people to encourage us, gives us people to help us, people to support us. Don't try and do it on your own. We were meant to be part of a local church. And we need to be at the breaking of bread, the communion service. This is something that Jesus specifically left for us. We forget, don't we? We don't think about these things, about Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross. But this is like a dramatic way. This bread is my body broken for you. This wine is my blood spread for you. Think about my sacrifice on the cross. Think about the love that was behind that. Think about the forgiveness that it brings. Think about the freedom. Think about how wonderful this is, how life-transforming what Jesus did on the cross. And we can remember that. We do that here once a month. Be here for that. It's important. And prayer is important. As part of our daily routine, whenever is good for you. And not just prayer by ourselves, prayer together with other Christians. These are all things that establish those roots, that when the ill health, the bereavement, the struggles, the difficulties with relationship, all kinds of things, when these come along with these poor things in our lives. This will help us to draw strength from God that will help us through these times. And I want to add another one, through Christian service. Because it's when we do stuff for God that he equips us, that he gives us the strength that we need. And many of us can say about that. So there are lots of people here who do amazing things and keep this place running and all the different activities. But find out what needs doing, because God will give you strength through Christian service. It's also very important. We're meant to be one of the team. It's not golf or tennis. It's kind of, you know, rugby or football. It's something that we all have to play our part in. So all of these things are important. And I'd like to just finish now with the other passage that Rachel pointed, Sarah read. And it's a passage of great encouragement in Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 27. And I'll just read it again, because repetition is helpful for it to sink into our minds. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Israel has doubts in God because things aren't working out the way they'd hope. They say, my way is hidden from the Lord. Then they get this wonderful response. Do you not know? Have you not heard? So whatever it is that you are going through, remember, those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And remember that hope is a byproduct of faith. So faith gives you hope. Those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. If you think that God doesn't understand, he isn't hearing your prayers, he doesn't understand what you're going through, he doesn't understand that you feel weary. We all get weary at times. Weary physically, weary spiritually. And we can throw ourselves into doing things to distract from that, but it just makes us more weary. Life, as I said before, tends to throw stuff at us when we feel that we can least cope with it. But God has a promise. Wait on me. Hope in me. And your strength will be renewed. God is faithful. Amen.
Amen.